Thank you, that was beautiful. Dr. Von Braun, who played a major role in America's space program, said, "I find it best to accept God as an intelligent will, perfect in goodness, revealing himself in the world of experience more fully down through the ages as man's capacity for understanding grows." Scientists of all kinds are coming to a similar conclusion. An astronaut, after going into space and seeing the amazing universe, said, "There is no doubt that God is the creator of this vast universe. There is no question that God exists. The question is, how does he exist for the individual?" There are people who believe that they can get God to move on their behalf. But this is not so. If it were true, there would be no pure law. Spiritual law is God in action, in principle. He's absolute, unwavering, creative activity. As we discover spiritual law, we learn that our function is to cooperate with it, work with it, and allow it to operate through us. Our problems and difficulties appear because we have not known spiritual law, which would reveal our perfection. Yes, we have perfection, not as human beings, but as spiritual beings. We are of God. This is the truth of us. All living souls, regardless of what they have done or haven't done, it doesn't matter. All living souls have God within. The human experience does not determine the truth of us. Remember that much of what we experience out here are appearances. In fact, the human experience only shows us that which is not true about us and all whom we know and meet and interact with. Fannie James, one of our founders of Divine Science, says in her book, Truth and Health, "The principle of perfect life is being demonstrated everywhere." She also said that we must work on our own salvation, and the secret is within. Within is the salvation from all error, that is illness or disease or poverty, all problems. She further says, "The principle of your life is perfect, that your innermost being or eternal state is perfect. Perfect mind is the eternal source of all." The confines and boundaries and problems that we face in life are illusions. They are formed by belief patterns, most of them born out of lack of knowledge and experience of the Divine Father found within us. Generation after generation hands down these beliefs and values. Most people are locked within the limitations of the body and mind, created by those beliefs they claim as theirs. Think about what you have accepted as true and real from family and friends and teachers and the media and other avenues. Jesus told us, and I am paraphrasing, that it is useless to try to change things for the better without first addressing our own state of mind. He told us to first clean the inside of the cup and platter that the outside may be clean also. What he was saying is that we have to first turn within and be still so that our thoughts and our beliefs be transformed. Remember, we can only experience that which is in our mind, our consciousness. Divine Science teaches that the whole of life is saying to us, "I will be with you according to your heart." Heart are feelings, according to your emotional thoughts and beliefs. The words Lord God means the law of total good. This law is responsive to all of us, all of the time. This law is responsive to the way we think with feeling. The Bible tells us, in stillness and in quietness is your strength. There is a point within our own consciousness where we can experience a stillness and quietness, which is rarely found, if ever, in the world. It is here that we can feel and know and experience the presence of God Himself. You and I are masters and servants to our own beliefs, our own values, and our own emotions. Our thinking with feeling, our beliefs about people and places and things, gives commands to the creative principle, which is law, that manifests them for us as experience. We set the creative principle in motion every second of our lives, and then we become a servant to them as a result. We choose what thoughts and feelings and emotions we will accept for ourselves. We have been given immense power. We are the determining factor of what it is to be in our lives, because we are the ones that command and we are the ones that obey. Paul told us that whatever belief you yield yourself to obey, it shall be your destiny to obey that belief. Let me give you a very simple example. When I was a little girl, my mom used to tell me that if I let rain wet my hair, that I'm going to get a headache. So I used to get a headache every time my hair got wet by the rain. And I actually believed this all the way until one day, as an adult, I said, why am I believing that? It isn't true. And that's when I could go out in the rain and my head would get wet and I wouldn't get a headache. Now that's a very simple example of how having a belief means that then you actually obey that belief. I say here, the headaches stop. Thank goodness I figured that out, huh? Imagine all the beliefs and values and emotions that we have and that we don't even realize we have. We don't know all that's operating in our mind. You know, once in a while a thought comes to you and you say, where'd that come from? Why am I thinking that? Why do I believe that? Most of us function on automatic pilot, assuming that things are the way they are and we can't do anything about that. This is not true. God is the factor in our life because God is within us, and because we are of God, and because our true self is spirit, when we commune with Him, then it's God's values that come through. It is God's thoughts that come through, not our thoughts. We can change our total life with the way we think and feel. We all live from where we are in consciousness. We cannot experience anything that was not first an idea, a thought, with feeling in our consciousness. Our experience is created by our attitudes and the way we feel and live our lives. Things don't just happen because they want to, not even because there is a need for them. They happen because of our beliefs. My life and your life right now is an outpicturing of our thinking with feeling. Another way to say this is that our life is in perfect harmony with that which we believe in consciousness. The creative principle is totally responsive to the individual consciousness. It manifests all things in perfect alignment with our state of mind. It makes no mistakes. We must remember, as a man or a woman thinketh in their hearts, so are they in the world. Creative principle is here for our benefit, to serve us, but it needs guidance and direction. A command is not something that we voice to anyone, not even to ourselves. A command is what we feel and trust to be true. There are many things that we say that we really don't believe, and they sort of disappear. This feeling is not just in our head. In fact, it's in our heart, and it flows from out of our heart. We will always move in the direction of what we hold as true and our reality. In fact, what we believe is our command. That is our established attitude. This is why no two people think alike. And it's difficult sometimes for two people, no matter how close they are, can see things in the same way. We tend to protect our beliefs, so we only share those that are more similar to what others think. A thought that comes and goes, we shouldn't worry about, as long as it doesn't capture you. For example, I haven't taken a flu shot in, maybe 15 years now. I haven't had the flu. And when they start with they've already started, go get the flu shot, go get the flu shot. And every time I walk into the pharmacy, my pharmacy, they want to give me a flu shot. And I keep telling them, if I take the flu shot, I actually get the flu. And that's true. So I don't take the flu shot because it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't believe in it. But the beliefs and the feelings that capture us, those that really get you, good example of that is the politics in this country right now. You hear people from all sides, very emotional, those beliefs are, they're going to have to follow those beliefs all the way through. Our beliefs are our own sense of reality. It is how we see the world, ourselves, and others. A belief is alive. It is an energy, and it has power. It just doesn't sit in our consciousness and draw us unto its kind. Like attracts like. The law of attraction brings to us those people and those activities and those experiences that are in alignment with our state of mind, which really means that we call it our reality. A writer once said, "Your belief is not only a command, but the most powerful force known to man. Greater is this that is in you than anything out here in this world. For this is that which is causation, and life has no choice but to obey." We may think that something went terribly wrong, yet there are no mistakes. We may believe we deserve better than what we are experiencing at the moment. No one reigns over us. We have choices, for we are the masters of our fate and captains of our soul. God is the source of answered prayer. The God within is the experience without. When I first came to Divine Science, one of the things that really caught my attention was that we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for our thinking and our feeling. We are responsible. Many people, and including me, throughout their lives have depended on others to shape their thinking, their values, and their beliefs. Too often, we accept what the world tells us is true and make those views our own, which then become our beliefs. We have been living in the outer, out there somewhere. Actually, this has served us pretty well, because when things go wrong, we can always find someone to blame. When we live life from the outer, we are living life through the five senses. By continuing to live from what our five senses tell us, we perpetuate the life of judging by appearances, not understanding God or what it means to have a relationship with God. But like I said earlier, we are of God. We are the divine idea of God. When we look to the human experience for anything, we are putting on the veil of ignorance, and we are returned to the merry-go-round of human experiences, which sometimes makes us feel like we are in prison, and in some ways we are. It is the prison of human consciousness. Jesus removed the veil, and he did it so that truth would be perfectly clear throughout all ages. Jesus said, "I can of my own self do anything. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." All this he said that so that for all time we might see and in seeing understand that his human identity was the same as yours and mine. But he also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the resurrection and the life." These statements may seem contradictory, but they really aren't. What is true of the human being, which we are expressing right now, is that we are flesh and blood and have good traits and bad ones, and the human being is not eternal. It will die. However, at the same time, the spiritual identity of us, is God, so that we may experience God's grace and love and abundance and peace. As human beings, we believe that we have good of our own. And in some cases, we believe that we can give this good to someone else. But this is a fantasy. There is only one good. One eternal good that is not dependent on what we do or don't do. God is the one principle that fills all, for he is all in all. God is infinite presence that goes before us, revealing his nature of love and grace and wisdom, good and blessings. When we have conscious realization of our oneness with God, nothing but God is expressed in our life. But we can't go to God to get things or to have him fix our problems or to give us his good. We must always remember, if we go to God for the things, the supply, the wholeness, or anything else, we won't get them. Why? Because he already gave us his kingdom. All of these things are already in us. We need to go to God for the pure pleasure of being in his presence, so that we can serve his will. Then we have the realization of his kingdom, and we can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. Then shall we know his good. Our inheritance is waiting for us. Our life is God, the one and only life there is. We must turn to God in communion, asking for nothing, telling him nothing, but just being still in his silence. God's good is an attribute of his nature. It is omnipresent, as it has always existed. God is our good and our abundance and our supply. When we dwell in the silence communion with our Father, God's nature is then revealed in our experience. Always remember, everything begins within first, idea, and then it is expressed out. We become the instrument for God to express and manifest out here in the world when we live by his truth. This is so because when we turn to God consistently and constantly, he fills our consciousness. Then what we will experience is God going before us, making all of our paths straight, leading and guiding us to our good. Intuitively, we will know what decisions to make, which roads to take. It is important to understand that no one can do this work for us, and we cannot do this work for anyone else. Each soul must do the work for themselves. While taking classes together and attending study groups and other group activities to learn about God is great, and it gives us support, and we learn from each other. At some point, we must do the spiritual work that Jesus taught us how to do. To have a realization of God in action, we must be steadfast in living and knowing and applying God's truth. In the Bible it says, "Thine, O God, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." We are all expressions of God, and as expressions, what is true of the Father is true of His creation. Therefore, our nature is the nature of God. God gave us free will, the freedom to choose what we want to be and what we want to do. Yet, as the one and only eternal power, it is the Father that dwelleth in me that doeth the works. But God cannot manifest out here unless there is a consciousness that is open to Him and who seeks God's kingdom. You and I are the vehicles for God to express in us, as us, and for us. It is through us that God does His works. It is in the freedom to explore and expand consciousness that we unfold spiritually to know God and to have a relationship with Him. John told us, "For we of our own selves can do nothing." It is up to us individually to decide if we will turn to God now and every day, or if we will wait. Only we can make this decision. God's love and good will never leave us, but to access that which comes from Spirit, we must pray in silence, with no words and no wants, only with a pure heart that says, "Father, your child is here, willing and waiting to hear your wisdom and understanding." Daily turning within, being still, quiet, and listening, we open the door to the silence where the Christ, the only begotten of God, lives within our being. The Christ leads and guides us so that we may have conscious realization of our true freedom and reality. As spiritual beings, we already have God's good with us. Let us turn to the Father to know Him and to know Him only. And so it is. Will you join me for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, relax your bodies. Just let go of everything you've been thinking about or that has consumed you. Remember that God created us in His image and likeness. Let us still our mind and our emotions, our body, our hearts, and our thoughts. Let us let God be God in our experience. Let us turn to Him to listen quietly, carefully, so that we may know spiritual truth. And most importantly, so that we may know who we truly are, a child of God, a spiritual being who lives and moves and has its being in God. Let us be still. Father, we are ever grateful for your loving presence here and now. We thank you for your grace, your blessings, your guidance. We turn to you as your child, so that we may understand your wisdom, your knowledge, your truth, your principle and law. For the love you give us, we give you thanks and say, Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you eternal life. Amen.